from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. You know, I don't like to compare myself to, because I was going to try to spell before I spoke, a C-O-U-G-H drop. Also, I'm not exactly sure if mentholiptus is soothing. Cooling, I get. Maybe that's what they say. Maybe they don't say soothing. I'd like to be, like, if you need cool, I'll let you know, as I say, I'm not as cool as the other side of the pillow, but I strive to be. And maybe not as cool, you know, I can't cool your, I don't think mentholiptus can cool the other side of your pillow, but if it could, it would be great if it could. I guess you'd probably have to buy, you'd say, well, then I have to buy mentholiptus in bulk. And I'm not even sure what it is other than, something that's on, like in those drops, you know, that's, because I have those before. Anyway, what am I talking about? Well, I'd like to be soothing and a little bit cooling or warming, breezy, easy, and definitely cheesy, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the podcast free for everybody. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which which one is going to fit you and your body. You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. It's a part of the podcast I need you to hear because the people that support the sponsors help keep it free for everybody. Definitely worth celebrating. And you want to talk about alliteration. I wanted to thank Bob and Avi, who supported Brooklyn and got a new sets of Brooklyn and bedding, really upgrading their sleepy time. And then I wanted to thank Leslie and BDSA on Twitter and Instagram for supporting Feels and letting me know about it. You can find out about all of our sponsors over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And then when you support a sponsor, you know, tag them on Twitter or Instagram, tag me so I can say thank you and I can thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Thanks, everybody. Oh, and before I go to the mystery part, if you check out any of our new sponsors, let me know right away. We got Mint Mobile and we got Four Sigmatic. I'd love to hear what you ordered from Four Sigmatic or how much you saved with Mint Mobile. So let me know about that. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W's a legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. That's Jonathan Mann, song.jonathanmann.net. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you sign up for our newsletter, because there may be a point where I have news, exciting news. I mean, I'm not teasing that, but or maybe not. Like, I do dream of the day I can pay an editor and writers. That would be. So sign up for the newsletter now, then years from now, you maybe once a month you'll get a thing with like an exciting piece of actual journalism I'll pay for. That's really my goal. I'm not kidding. So sign up for our newsletter now. You won't get any news until at some point when there's news to give. So there's a big pitch. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. But yeah, if I go on tour, like tour dates or new, you know, cool new stuff, that would be breaking news for sure. So sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. And that's it. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, things on your mind, you know, something past, present, future, or all of them, which is normal for me to have that. So thoughts, physical sensations, you know, anything physical coming up for you, or your feelings, any emotions. Even if they're, you know, like, this is not a tangent I thought I'd go on this early, but I was going to say, like, even if it's a low-grade emotion, like, you just kind of sense it. But then I was thinking of other things that people say are low-grade. And I said, does that ever, they say, what the heck you calling, who are you calling low-grade, man? Like, just because I'm just 0.2 degrees above normal, you know, like... I'm trying to like do the talk about it without talking about that, but what's a low grade emotion? Like you'd say, we'll return to this. You're right. So what I'm going to try to do is create a safe place where you could set aside, thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. Yeah, whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is to have this safe place set aside here. Carved out, built, constructed, organic. There's parts that are organic. There's parts that are 100% free form. Holy moly. If I showed you the new free form section of Safe Place I have here, you're interested in an imaginary safe place. Oh boy, do I. Oh boy. You really have good taste. I do have plenty of imaginary. In some sense, it creates a real sense, though. That's my goal. So I'm going to try to create a safe place by sending my voice across the deep, dark night using lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Creaky and dulcet, which is not for everybody. So if it's, you know, just kind of see how it goes if you're new. What was I going to talk about? I already forgot. Seriously. Didn't I just interview somebody or something? And I said, I'll come back to that. Low grade. Thank you. So I'm going to send my voice through lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. So, you know, you just got a couple of those. Superfluous tangent. You know, just ahs, ums, holy cow. Filler words. You know, I take the filler words, I put them in one of those, I pipe in the filler words via old pipe organ and like a pastry pipe or whatever they call that, that a baker has. You see, and pipettes, but I don't know what that is. But yeah, I have one of those big poofy things you'd see a pastry chef or a dessert chef or a baker. Just like a cream puff. I have that. With piped in music, but in this case, it's what did I say I was piping in? Creaky dulcet, pointless meanders, all those things. Filler words. Yeah, I'm so full of filler words. I've been eating my own filler. I said, geez, I guess it's tough to make these puff them up full of filler words and not, you know, have a little taste. Especially when I'm piping in extra filler words over what once was pipe organs. Also pneumatic tubes constantly delivering me extra filler words. If you could see me, it's probably been a scene in a movie before. Maybe Brazil, I don't know, where there's a person in a small cubicle-like thing full of pneumatic tubes, and they're just reaching in. That's where I get some of my filler words. They say, oh boy, that just popped in. Oshkosh bagash just came up through this other one. Okay, so I'm going to use some filler words. I already forgot what I was supposed to go. Oh, low grade. Okay, I'm trying to remember that. So I could give low grade the due it deserves, finally. I mean, low grade just told me if there was a degree of difficulty, there wouldn't be a degree of difficulty without low grade. Am I right or am I right? So, okay, where was I? So if you're new, welcome. Nonsense has already started. This podcast is seriously strange and goofy. And here's a couple of things to know. If you're new, I'm glad you're here. And I hope I can take your mind off stuff and help you fall asleep. Like I said, it doesn't work for everybody, but kind of see how it goes. This podcast is best consumed with a vacant stare, I guess you'd say. How is this best consumed, Scoots? Can you think about another metaphor? And I'd say, yeah, like a vacant stare. You say, huh. Well, you know, maybe your jaw is not a, you know, your jaw is just a little bit, you're hanging your jaw a little. You got a vacant stare. And ideally, you're getting comfortable and you're saying, I'm not exactly sure what this person is talking about or if they're making any sense or if they even know the proper usage of low grade, you know, other than, yeah, hardy hard hard descriptor of the, you know, low grade comedy. That's what we have here. You'd say, okay, where's zero on the comedy scale? Okay, now just to get out the most sensitive oscilloscope you have. In this case, it's an oscilloscope, of course, but okay, Scoots is just, oh no, go get the one from Bern, Switzerland, because that's more sensitive. Also, I prefer oscilloscopes that use a metric system, not a whatever that is, knee chuckles or hardy horrors. Oh, that is the one from Bern. Okay, so how many? Okay, so Scoots is a 0.000001 horror. He hasn't even gotten to a hardy horror. He's just at a. Okay, well, that's probably that's a low grade humor then. Oh, it falls out of the standard deviation. Oh, bummer. Anyway, so if you're new, just maybe like passively consume this podcast. It's here to keep you company as you drift off. Now, structurally, what to expect, even though we're partially into the structure, show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody. It's just the engaged listeners supporting the sponsors or supporting the show. So that's super cool that the most engaged people keep the podcast free for everybody. Then there's an intro. Now, the intro is about 12 to 18 minutes of me rambling. I mean, barely registering in an oscilloscope, which doesn't exist. Oh, also everybody at the Hagen and Bern, save your letters. You know, I've got plenty of them. You've already sent me a few. You don't really need to rephrase it. That's great. I understand. I'm misusing everything. I get it. I just wanted Bern and the Hague to get your due for measurements and standardizations. Oh, that's just, oh, okay, yeah, for being referred to in ways that really don't, yeah, oh boy. Can I relate to your destinations without actually, I realize that there are other destinations. I'm not made like a Swiss watch. What can I say? Because you saw it, you just ran me through an oscilloscope and I barely even registered a horror. Okay, let me get back, excuse me. Representatives. Okay. What was I saying? Oh, the intro. So there's an intro to the show that kind of just goes on and on and on and on. And the idea behind it is it eases you into bedtime. So a small percentage of listeners just skip ahead to like 18 to 20 minutes and listen there. And then the rest of the listeners, they kind of just figure out what works for them. Some people are listening as they're getting ready for bed. Some people get into bed and ease into bedtime. You know, I'm a foam roll. I've been trying to foam roll. And, you know, not make this about me, but I don't listen to the podcast. But if I did, maybe I'd do it while I was foam rolling. There's a that was an unnecessary tangent, but just an idea. Like, so of different ways you can use the show. So there's an intro. It's 18 minutes of me just rambling and explaining what the podcast is to help you get ready for bed. And some people fall asleep during it. So that's the intro. Then we'll have a bedtime story. Tonight it'll be like a TV recap style episode. But it'll be very meander filled. And so many details that you won't really, don't worry. That's what I'm saying. And then there'll be some thank yous at the end. So it's a structured show. This is a podcast you really don't need to listen to. I think you figured that out. If you say, okay, low grade, I'm sent as far as making sense, I wouldn't say low-grade sensibility, because that definitely sounds like it means something else. But comprehensibility, I'd say low-grade. And then, so this is a podcast you don't really need to listen to. The other thing is you don't need to fall, no pressure to fall asleep. You can fall asleep. That's why I'm here. But if you can't, I'm here to keep you company to the very end or all night, you know, with episode after episode after episode if you need it. So that's how the structure of the show, kind of the things you don't need to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. I make the show because I believe you do deserve a good night's sleep. Just like with this intro, I believe the term low grade deserves, you say, okay. I guess maybe I'm the only one that was, maybe this is like a case of me, you know, projecting onto me. Maybe I'm the only one that says low grade in a disdainful way. Actually, it's not true. I would hear it in a disdainful way because I wouldn't want to go to school. So that would be a word for me when they'd say it's low grade. I'd say, no, 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 no. Please don't say low grade. That means I probably have to go to school. But here's the thing. If you go running and you're dealing with a low grade, that's good news. I mean, not as something being flat, but it means, oh, that's kind of really, I'm not even kidding. I just realized this. My whole story, my life is low grade. This is another word we're going to use soft power to take back. I'm going to get, maybe one day I'll get a t-shirt that says, I don't know if it'll say hashtag low grade living, but really my progress in life has been not always been progress, but when you look at it over the course of thus far, it's a low grade. And I say, well, I'm making low grade progress. Because I don't have the ability to run up, you know, to do any hill grade or mountain grade progress. That's just not my style. Low grade living. Was that a song by, who was the dad in that movie about, that I can't say the name of, Hoyt Atkins? Was he a country singer? Is that a real person? Did he ever have a country song, Low Grade Living? In celebrating, let's celebrate low grade living. Also, spoiler alert, I had very low grades when I was in school. I told my daughter that I think this was started in middle school or high school, like that they changed the grading at some point because they said, well, we're not going to give kids any grades below 50 out of 100 anymore. I don't know if it's just because of me. But like, because I was consecutively in a couple subjects scoring less than 50, and that does not look good on a report card. You'd say, well, that's a low grade report card. I'm only laughing now because there's just such truth buried in this. Like when you're a kid, you don't realize how wonderful it is. But when you're an adult, you say, man, if I would have known then that my low grades were just the start of low grade living, which one day I would view as positive. Slow and steady progress. Okay, so somebody blocked some part of my brain that's more comprehensible just told me, yeah, that's a fancier way of saying it, but I like low grade living. One, I guess slow and steady and low grade living have a kind of, you know, they have a nice sing-song quality to them. You know, slow and steady. Low grade living. Plus, it has that living. So you say, oh, yeah, that's got a feel for it, man. Anyway, I don't even know where I was, but I just want you to know that if you're out there trying to get to bed and you just happen to be the term low grade, I love you, man. And if you feel low grade at all, I love you. Really. I mean, this is why I make the show. I mean, that's real joy in my voice, sort of thinking about something that, you might say, well, that might not have been so great at the time, but really, it made me the person I am today. Like, who would have known? And also to know, yeah, sometimes we'll have some good positive, you know, we do climb hills, don't worry, but most of my living is low grade, and I think, if I could keep it that way, I mean, that's how you keep putting podcasts out anyway. Say, so that one is slow and steady. Though I would like to know, you know, that's the rabbit in the hare, whatever, the tortoise in the hare. The rabbit in the hare, that's funny too. So I'm here to help. If you're new, this might, this is kind of pretty much this is a little bit more intimate than a normal intro, but not by much. So I'm glad you're here. As I said, you do deserve a good night's sleep, and if I can help in any way, it would be my honor. If I could help, you know, get you some rest so you get back to that low-grade living tomorrow. Because, you know, when you can't sleep, sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Or you feel like that the way I used to use low-grade, you know, just hours ago. I guess I'll be honest, I was using it as a pejorative term, you know, just about the things I was referring to. Like low-grade cardboard, maybe. I don't know if I've said that, but probably maybe I have. But not anymore. I'll be holding it above my head, running out in the street shirtless, saying, "This is low-grade thingamajig. Hooray." Part of my look at this t-shirt falling apart on me. It used to say low-grade living, but that would be different than low-grade. Anyway, I hope I can provide you high-quality lulls and distractions, but at a slow and steady rate. I'm glad you're here. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive, and I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by, and here's a couple of ways to keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they find out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to A Good Place to Sleep, or The Good Place to Sleep, or our Good Place coverage. Now, for those of us that are casual viewers, this will be our last season. But for Sleep With Me, eventually we'll cover season 2, which we never did cover, of The Good Place. But I wouldn't say it's a bittersweet feeling yet. Bittersweet, the old bittersweet. I wouldn't say it's bittersweet or that I have bittersweet. Because who tasted their own sweat? But so because, you know, we still have plenty of episodes and, you know, we're still in the anticipatory return to our relationship and what's going to happen with these characters and our love for them over the next, whatever, 12 to 14 or so episodes. I think usually it's 12 or 13. Though I think this is supposed to be a two-part episode spread over 2 weeks, which is a little different than sometimes they do two episodes in a row. So we'll see. I mean, I'm feeling good. Tonight we'll be covering, and just in case you're listening and you're wondering about our Good Place coverage this season, and, you know, I'm always open to feedback from listeners, so I did learn from last Good Place season and the GOT season that it is better to spread the TV recap episodes out as in the regular, instead of doing every week. That's a little bit too much for some listeners. So it will be every third episode will be a Good Place recap during the, you know, the fall half of the season, and then during the spring half of the season or the winter half of the season. So it basically means that every third episode will be Good Place coverage, and some of those will end up falling on like two episodes where we cover two episodes, and some will cover one. And then tonight we may cover the like webisodes, depending on our time. But it's good to be back. I mean, who, you know, of course, you can't say any more than it is good to be back. I guess back in the Good Place. And this, so this is episode one. It's called A Girl from Arizona, Part One. And it opens with a recap that I'm going to start watching now once I figure out how to turn my volume off and how to press play here. So it opens previously on The Good Place. We've got, when I'm watching it on mute, we have Michael and Janet on a couch. They're at Mindy St. Clair's. Michael is playing with his ear. The judge is talking. Derek and Jason in the Good Place, lemon in a glass, Sean, Michael standing up in his office, Sean and Michael on the floor, John, one of our new residents, Eleanor in a rainbow shirt, John and Tahani, Simone, Chidi, and Eleanor, Chidi arriving at the Good Place. So that's some, oh, and Eleanor has the same shirt on, FYI. Holy, what do they call that job, that somebody has to keep an eye on that? Oh, no, she's in a rainbow shirt. Oh, no, now she's welcoming Chidi. She's in a striped button-down shirt. Like, I don't know, are all button-down shirts Oxfords or only the ones? But she's in a nice striped, like, kind of a maroon, very... I'd say like on the, like a business casual type button down short sleeve shirt, very good for the weather in the Good Place, which seems to be a Mediterranean climate or Los Angelian climate. Where was it? Okay, so that was on mute. Let me see what I wrote down when I was actually listening. Recap. The judge goes over the rules. Janet babies. Bad Place, gets to pick the four new residents. Oh, Derek and Jason are standing in front of a Knish from a Rose, which was the name of a Knish place. Another great, such great writing. It took me, so there's one in this episode. Knish from a Rose I got right away. But there was one, it took me two and a half watches to get the pun. And if you're a Good Place writer or watcher, you know which one I'm talking, or maybe you don't. And they said, well, we thought Knish from a Rose would trip you and Seal up. And I'd say, well, maybe. I can't speak for Seal, but I could see Seal singing that to me over a Knish, you know, sharing a Knish with Seal. Okay, so then they talk about the stakes for this season. Michael Suit gets mentioned. John and Tahani, Simone and Chidi. This is when Chidi says, you got to reboot me. And then Eleanor says, hi, Chidi. Then And I put stars next to this because so then it opens, the episode begins, and it's Eleanor's face talking. She's just really, really Kristen Bell at her best, just listening to Chidi talk and her kind of reacting and breathing and going through the series of emotions as Chidi's amazed at the good place. Really. Says all, you know, so much more, but it's like a Kanish from a rose. And then, you know, right within the first minute, we see that pun. But first, Chidi says, wow, so happy. Wow, perfect. This place is perfect. He likes how quaint it is. They're standing in front of lasagna. Will lasagna come out tomorrow? Which is a little easier to figure out when you say it out loud. But when you're reading it, I say, well, first of all, it says lasagna. And then come out are a little bit smaller, and then tomorrow. And then I, of course, for me, you know, this is my job. So I say, okay, is it a new thing in this Good Place reboot? Is everything is lasagna? You're going to have to pay attention to that, Scoot. I say, little Scoots, get over here. He says, yeah, boss, what do you need? He needs you to keep an eye on lasagna restaurants and other lasagna-based puns. Okay, you got it, boss, I'm on it. Lasagna will come out tomorrow, boss. It's and I say, oh, okay, thanks. Keep an eye out for other ones, please. You know, boss, I'm not sure this is all lasagna-themed. Oh, boy, really? Well, that's going to make, then I'm going to have to find another assistant for the other stores and restaurants. Yeah, well, okay, so then, so okay, sorry, I got to get back to the episode. Where was it? Okay, so we just say 100% perfect, new home, flavor, what does that say? Flavor to Crown Town, books. Floor to ceiling books. Eleanor has a clipboard. I forgot to put that in my notes. I think that is important to me. But they go to Chidi's home, and he has floor to ceiling books, a library, kind of a cheap Picasso, or cheap looking Picasso painting over the hearth, and then books and reading lights. Love these. They're so good for reading. That was one of the jokes I actually quote. I don't like quoting all the good jokes. Okay, so good for reading. Weak Picasso style above the fireplace. Chidi gets a book, his Thor's Hammer. It's the Critique of Reason by Immanuel Kant. Also, there's kind of like a coffee nook in the background. I think it's to the left. Or a drink nook, even though it's a library and there's no sink. That's what I always wonder about these drink nooks that don't have, that are in a room without proper plumbing. But I guess with the, in a good place, it doesn't make a difference. But so there's like a coffee, it was a French press, which is what I use. You know, not to compare myself with the Good Place or Chidi, but. There's also like a big jar or cup with sticks in it. And I said, are those the sticks you put in like a liquid and they're supposed to smell good? For a while, I forgot their name. And then my brain just said infusion sticks. And I said, no, but they're called diffusion or diffuser sticks or something. In my notes, it put smelling sticks, ? Which are probably a different thing. Or it could be pasta, which would make even less sense. Number one, Dre. I don't know what that means. Let me remember, go back here. Number one, Dre. I think that's Chidi's number one dream, was to be able to get a book like Thor's Hammer. And he says, Eleanor says, well, geez, welcome to the Good Place. And then Chidi says, you know what? I forgot your name and all of this. And again, really, Kristen Bell at top form, because she says, Eleanor, he goes, oh, I'll never forget that. And she goes, you might, like, it's just a great awkward moment. Then a kind of an inadvertent awkwardness for me because she walks right into the good place, you know, the main office, Michael's office, like she was walking out of the room with Chidi. But I guess it's because it exists in a non, you know, different time space continuum. This would be possible because Tahani's there, her hands on her chest, Jason, Michael. Let me see. I don't know if, Janet's there, but everyone's like waiting for her, feeling, you know, they know she's in love, you know, they used to both be in love with one another, you know, but now it's more of a one-way thing. And she has a little bit of a frown. Oh, Janet is there. Her hands are clasped with a look of concern. Michael's hands are in his pockets. Everyone goes, Tahani gives her big a hug. Jason joins the hug. Michael says, oof, cool, foof, or something. He's wearing a gray jacket, or like a plaid jacket, like a subtle gray plaid, I believe. Like a navy to slate pocket square. And then his tie has kind of like a black or navy background with different like blue and pinkish flowers or polka dots or something, or, you know, another type of print. Oh, no, turquoise in, I don't know if it's like more of a, I don't know, tough to describe the color pink with my limited vocabulary. No, I guess hot pink and turquoise, like a square with flowers, question mark. Next, next residents on their way in 6 minutes. Michael makes a speech, which it feels something to something. He says, Jesus, this is really, he really tries to make this big speech to get everyone pumped up. We're inspired, incredibly inspired, destined for success, I think, maybe, he says. After someone says, oh, geez, I feel, I realize everyone feels D-O-double-M-E-D and destined for not good, but I think we're destined for success. But then they do this parallel thing with Sean at the BAD place, who's in a conference room. And he goes, geez, I'm so proud of all of you. You, all of you bad place workers, S to the U to the C to the K. And I wanted to then Michael goes back, geez, let's look at our team here. Tahani, smart, sophisticated. Yeah, told me to get rid of my goatee. Then we go back to Sean, who points out Bombajan and Val. You're two great workers that were in the webisodes. Or I don't know if that's a word they call them anymore. Bonus digital content. Then he says, Janet, she could do everything. She made all the people. She goes, oh, they're not people, like all the residents of the good place. He goes, me? I had a setback. A setback's a setup for a comeback a while ago. Then some classic humor with Jason. He says, Jason, who can? And then he goes, our fearless leader, the pride of Phoenix, Arizona. And he points out Eleanor, who says, actually, the statue of Alice Cooper is the pride of Arizona. With this team, you know, who could, like, think? And then something about the bad place. Believe it or not, the show's already in front of me somehow, but... they sing the 187. Then they go to the bad place. They say, hey, let's sing our special song, 1877. A song you hear on like a lot of sports shows on radio. So I don't want to get that caught in your head. Then there's the good place, chapter 40. Yeah, so we're at chapter 40, 40 episodes. And then we have Eleanor, now she's gone from cash to full. She's in a suit, and Michael says, geez, you look professional. Serious team leader. And she kind of does like an Angie Harmon pretends she's on one of those shows with the dun. Yeah, and she says, I never seen it, but it was really funny. And the first new resident we get to meet here is Linda, who's in lavender. I don't know if it's a cardigan, because I don't know what a cardigan is. I mean, I know a cardigan is a sweater, but I don't know what sweater is a cardigan. But, you know, I think that's a cardigan, but I don't know. But it's lavender. It looks like very comfy. And Linda's like, so always says, that's nice. She's like a bit like Scoots. She goes, that's nice. There's also no sand in the top of Eleanor's hourglass. And it's not a figurative statement. That was actually something I observed. They said, geez, Linda, what are you looking for? What do you want to, she goes, is there a fitness center? And they go, there can be. So Linda's priority is, I just saw another sign. I paused at Yogurt Acres. Yogurt Acres, Yogurt Acres. I don't know if I get the pun, but a few hours from now, I will. When that pun brain gets back to me, wakes up from, they say, oh, sorry, boss, I was out looking for the lasagna puns. Yogurt Acres, you don't get it, boss? I say, no. They say, don't worry, when you're walking the dog later, you'll get it. Okay, where was I? Fitness center. They say, Linda, this is a good place. This is paradise. She goes, that's nice. I like that. And then they're in the good place, town square. I wonder if, Universal Studios is going to preserve this as a good place, town square. I mean, I know it's a working studio. It would be cool for a while to just have it, they say, imagine 20 years from now, they say, well, this used to be the European area, but it became the good place. You know, could you just cancel all the movies and TV shows to be planned there for the next 20 years? It'd be great for me and my daughter and all the Good Place fans. I also love to just hang there before they undo it. I don't know if they're done shooting all the episodes of the, I don't know if they're done filming all the episodes of the Good Place or not. Okay, so they're in a good place for touring with, who's her, Linda. They say, who is she? They say, she's boring. More boring than neutral Janet, Michael says. But, you know, not as boring, you know, but he mentions disco Janet, who is wild. And then they say, Janet, then she says, Eleanor says, great idea. Janet, meet Linda. Linda, what do you want? Janet can do anything. For example, she could make a baby elephant of pure light that tells the secrets of the world. And then a baby elephant made of pure light appears. Linda says, I'd like a peppermint. Which at first I braced myself for some sort of genie type surprise. And then I said, well, what does she mean a peppermint? At first I didn't even have any idea, to be honest, what a peppermint was. Because it was too non-specific. I said, well, would you bring her a peppermint? And luckily, Janet's, you know, all-knowing. But if I was in that position, I'd say, well, like, I guess I would ask, a query. I'd say a peppermint plant or something peppermint-flavored. Do you want it to taste like actual peppermint or, the peppermint we're all familiar with? Or peppermint extract? Peppermint patty, or do you want someone named, do you want actual peppermint patty or a peppermint, or what about a junior mint, or something else? I don't know. Anyway, Linda, which of those? But Janet brings her a peppermint candy wrapped, which is, you know, very conscientious of Janet, because she could have brought it unwrapped in her palm. While this is paused, they're in the town square at the moment I'm paused at, in front of Yogurt Acres, which has an outdoor cafe, and then to the left of it is an outdoor cafe where there's two people sharing drinks and talking, and then on the right side of the screen are two gentlemen talking. One is holding a soccer ball behind his back. And there's a lot of quality. What are those things called? Parasols? Umbrella, I know they call them. But there's like a light blue, sky blue umbrellas. And then it's not turquoise, but some other color. I'm not sure. Okay, so I was off traffic with all that background stuff. Alice Cooper. opening. Oh, no, I'm on the wrong page of my notes. That's why. Disco Janet. Baby. Okay, so then they cut to commercial. That was actually a good place for me to get lost. Let's see. Janet waves. They introduce. They do the baby elephant made of perfect light who tells secrets of the universe. That goes to an ad. Then we meet, I guess I'll have to go on another tangent. So we meet Brent Norwalk from Norwalk Materials. He's wearing like a Cool Max polo shirt, khakis with a khaki webbed belt. And Brent is, as we'd call him gently on the podcast, a splainer. And he's, I mean, like, I think this, where I feel like this season is going is really, it shows the, well, we'll see. I mean, sometimes I'm a bit of a Pollyanna, you know, and I get too excited. But I say, wow, could this show really, in some compassionate, empathetic, and humorous way, you know, try to bridge everything that's going on? Like, to say, okay, like, this is what we share. This, I don't know. So I think I'm really, it makes me actually more excited about the season. I mean, I think it's a definite tightrope because it's hard enough for me to talk about it in a thing. But I think it like say, hey, are we able to talk to one another? Because we're all humans again. And, or I don't know where things are going. But Brent definitely represents one style of communication and self-awareness, I would say. That kind of splainers tend to represent, which is, so he blinks, he frowns, he smiles, and then Eleanor says, Brent Norwalk, let's see, did I already put S-U-C-K-S's, there's no something after Good Place, what does that mean? But he gets called into Eleanor's office, and yeah, I guess maybe they already said that. Wait a second. They say, oh, no socks. Brent doesn't have any socks on, or he has like ankle socks with the khakis or something because he couldn't see. But they see, he says, where am I anyway? And they say, well, you're in the good place. I notice he touched his nose. I think it's like, I don't know. I think it was very revealing. Where is this? What is this place anyway? And they say, oh, you're in the good place. He touches his, brushes the underside of his nose. I don't know if that's a tell or just really fixated on it. I mean, if it was, either way, it's good acting, I guess. He likes to use big, so Brent, you're in the materials business? He goes, oh yeah, big time. And he throws shade on steel. He explains Eleanor about steel, talks about vulcanized rubber. Goes, oh, there better be golf here. Then they introduce him to Janet. She goes, let's ask Janet. And he goes, oh, secretary. She goes, not a secretary, dude. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes off, kind of Michael. He says, oh, what about this vice president of helping? Captain Marvel. And Michael really, even in a mature way, says, geez, I'm not a part of this, so don't involve me, dude. Which I thought was a gentle way of dealing with it. Then we're at Mindy's. We get Matt from accounting. We don't exactly remember. So I don't know if it's a recasting or Matt, like Matt was another, maybe he was a character that I just, sorry, Matt, I forgot about you, bud. But he's going to be monitoring everything. Some great details to see in Mindy's place that I probably forgot about. One, is there a jukebox to the right of the front door? Or if you're looking in, you're in the room facing the front door to the left. You know, they have that Billy Idol with the parrot painting, a lot of pink or coral coloring. Very clean. Mindy keeps a clean place. She keeps it tight, you know, there's also a strange shell, the really nice looking. I guess I wouldn't say strange. I'd say floor, looks like it's part shell, part bird, like a sculpture on So it kind of does feel like a bit like a nicer, like a place where someone, I mean, I can't believe how clean it is, or uncluttered, I guess would be the right word. I mean, of course, Mindy would say, of course it's clean. Let's see. So Matt, he says, I'm going to monitor everything. I'm going to keep the point system. You won't be able to monitor in real time. He goes inside an obelisk that then some red lights come out. Yes, that kind of obelisk. Yes, it is. Where some kind of red lights go on to, I guess, monitor things. And then they say, geez, well, this is only, Eleanor says, well, this is only the first week, so we can just figure this out. She also says, we'll figure out what the fork is up with these benches. She has an emoji whiteboard with a thinking emoji and then a birthday partying emoji with one of those blowing things. So, like, what's the deal in party time? And they put Simone in that. And then even Michael says, we could do this. And then he says, like, a bad place quote about hearts and eyes. Can't lose. And he says, oops. Then we go to a scene with Derek and Jason are at overlooking a garden. So I say, where in LA did they shoot this in LA too? Like, which garden in LA is this? They've shot other scenes here. Ian, Janet's there, or it's just Derek, Janet, and Jason says, oh no, Jason calls Janet. Because he says, you're not supposed to be here. He kind of tattles on Derek, who's kind of looking. He's got a martini glass full of mini pickles, like cocktail pickles. He goes, proud daddy Derek, just looking at my, because I helped Janet create these things. And Jason goes, you didn't do anything except make her butts, probably. And he goes, yeah, I did make those butts. Then Janet goes, you got to hit the road because we don't want anybody asking who the weirdo in the tux is. And Jason is not happy about this. Plus, Derek gives her a big, long hug. Then we go to Town Square again for the orientation video with Michael. Very similar, but Michael also is having a side conversation with Janet and Eleanor. Saying, okay, our job here is to point them out so they can recognize the kind of people they were on Earth. And he goes, the important thing is to watch how they react while they watch the video. It's a video about the point system and how many points it took to get it, so that they realize they don't qualify. Brent, he kind of is not paying attention. He blows out. John seems interested. He's got like a funny but interested look on his face. Linda, let me see what Linda's look is. She seems curious. She's watching. And then Simone is kind of goofing around. She's acting a little wild. They say, oh boy. Also on the board, it says eating a sandwich plus 1.04 points. Cheating at golf, -12.44, Brent. Helping a sad friend, it was on the side, +3 point something. Insulting someone's hairstyles, -8.35. Eleanor says, Simone, you okay? And she goes, well, none of this is real. And Eleanor says, what do you mean? She goes, well, this is a hallucination. I'm just going to wait till I wake up from this. It's just kind of like a dream, but a little different. See you later. Also, I think Eleanor said there's a popcorn river. John likes her, like Simone's attitude. He's amused by it. And she goes, just keep going with the orientation. Don't worry, we'll all get popcorn out of Popcorn River later. Let's see. Then we're at Mindy's. Simone's back on the other thinking emoji side. Janet kind of gives this warning that she's overtaxed. She has too many things. Like, it's taking all her processing to manage everything. Jason's eating popcorn out of a bucket. I think I tried to read what it said, but I couldn't read it. It says something, I think the river of popcorn's on the bucket. I'll see if there's any close-ups here while I'm going through here. Really full thing of popcorn. Man, the sets, as subtle as they are, they do a good job. Jason's softly eating the popcorn. Janet's like, I gotta go because Brent wants a BLT. And Michael actually normalizes things. He goes, this is a common reaction by Simone. I think the river is on the box, the popcorn container. So then they say, geez, we need to, maybe we should put a, maybe we shouldn't work on Simone. I don't know. And then Tahani mentions, well, geez, like her racket. Oh, she goes, yeah, we need someone with authority to talk to Simone. That's what Tahani says. And she goes, like, someone like Mandela or Sir Patrick Stewart, you know, my old, like one of my old racquetball partners. Not Blake Bortles. That's what Eleanor says to Jason. Because he goes, I know who it was. She goes, not Blake Bortles. She goes, no, Chidi. He looks like one of those owls that went to college. You can see the tension because then they say, yeah, it's time to activate our ethical sleeper agent. But Eleanor, you know, she's trying to manage her feelings for Chidi and, you know, they can't control other people. And that she has to make all this work. She says, let's wait for the party. So then the opening scene of the party, the like welcome party, is Simone rolls in. She has on a cheese. She has a cheese head on, like from the Green Bay Packers. Then like super, what is that stuff called that you put on your eyelids? I don't know. Like, is that, that's not mascara. It's something else. Like that's like, that's not a teal. Maybe it is a teal. But a bright blue. Then she has on like a Elizabethan collar. Then what I believe is just a regular old cardigan. A t-shirt of Einstein dabbing. Then something that looks like a dress form or something. I don't know. And then also like a giant puffy yellow striped with sparkles clown pants. And then she also has foam fingers on, a green foam finger on one side and a white one on the other side that say, we're number one. And then we cut to a commercial as she walks by. Michael says, you know, he says, oh, boy. And Eleanor says, we'll work it like, you know. Then we see Jason as Jianyu. He's snacking on peanuts. Derek is mixing them. Derek, which is a giant, in this case, a giant onion in a martini glass. And he says, Derek, Ruta Tuta Tuta Tuta, like as he's shaking it. And then Jason says, geez, I'd like to call a truce. We've decided to rise above your things and just, you know, make peace with it. So even though Jason's trying to grow, Derek's not having it. So he says, well said, Mr. Mendoza. But he goes, Janet's my mom, my mommy girlfriend, and you've crossed the Rubicon. And let's see. States report. What does that say? Oh, status report. So they do a status report. Brent, they do a status report. Then Brent says he was in the top half of the bottom half of his class at Princeton. Let's see. Then we go to John, who says, I'm looking for someone who gets me. I'm going to keep touring this party till I find someone that, you know, gets my style. Then they say, geez, we can't wait any longer to do this cheaty thing. But then, you know, Eleanor's not cool with this. So then Michael does some great truth telling, which is like really good. I don't know what this says. Five mulberries. I don't know what that says. Five something. But yeah, he spends a few minutes talking to Eleanor, saying she's like, don't worry, Eleanor. Yeah, we're going to work this one out. The party's really packed. It's not, well, not really packed, but it's full. Oh, Eleanor talks under her breath. That was one of my, probably what my notes said. Yeah, then we're by the pool with Simone. Oh, Simone pushes a cake over. That's cake pushing. That's what it says. I still don't know what five mulberry means, though. Yeah, but then Simone pushes some people in the pool. And she talks about her nonsense brain. So Eleanor introduces Chidi to her. She says, geez, you're so familiar. We're like, oh, we taught at the same school. And she goes, oh, that makes sense that, then she starts to, like, we, you know each other. Then she just starts singing the song Semi-Charmed Kind of Life. And they say, Chidi's like, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, it was stuck on my alarm clock when I was a kid. To wake me up. That was the only song I would play. So now I'm trying to wake myself up by singing it. Also, when I was taking notes, this is when I kind of said, well, she's more dressed like a clown. Then we go back to Mindy's for some more great comedy. Really, this is like a good, like, I love the pacing when you throw Mindy into it. Her comedic timing. Because she goes, she goes, what is going on? Like, Jason runs in. She goes, dude, what's going on with my house? There's Darth Vader's turd in here. And he goes, there's no time to explain. Plus, I kind of forgot what it does. She's been living in the attic. He goes, where's Derek's plunger? They go outside to deal with Derek, who's got a glass of cherries at this point. Derek goes out, bye-bye. One of the many times I watched this, I was working out, and it just, like, cracked me up. But then when I watched it while I was taking notes, I kind of said, well, I don't know if it's appropriate for me to laugh. But great stunt work for Derek. Then we go back to Simone and Eleanor. And Eleanor's trying to convince Simone that things are normal. She's doing the chorus from the song she'd been singing. I never knew a Semi-Charmed Kind of Life until, like, the last 4 or 5 years. I always thought it was like a Semi-Fredo Kind of Light or something. But then Derek, she says, everything, what's so weird about everything? It's normal. And then Derek's on the screen, just spouting nonsense too. Then we go back to Mindy's house. Eleanor's hands on her head. She's down. Jason's down. Michael's making a speech trying to say things. Then Jason's like, Janet, you know, this Derek's sliding into your DMs on me. Janet's not happy. Jason has, like, some more great jokes about... Just we got to listen real close. And she says, we'll talk about it later. And they say, geez, so, like, what are we going to do next? And Michael says, well, maybe we'll do flying day. And Jan goes, oh, yeah, I don't have nothing going on. Because Eleanor says, let's focus on Linda. She's so dull. A big glob of plain yogurt. Then Michael jumps to action and says, let's do flying day. And Janice says, cool, like, so easy. Also, Michael changed suits. So he's in, like, a navy suit, lavender shirt, really nicer tie. We go to flying day. Linda, how's it going? She goes, it's good. She's just barely floating off the ground. Do you want to fly higher? And, fine. We heard you like knitting. You want to do some knitting while you're flying? No, thanks. And, I just saw a new sign. I'll try to read that. Make some art, it says. Let's do a little more rewinding here if I'm missing any signs. Oh, I am. This is a live Sleepy Podcast research here. So I just cut back. I'm getting ready to pause it. So far, not seeing any signs I can read, but
So I guess I didn't get any new signs. They're too good with the keeping stuff out of focus. Oh, there's one place called Childhood Mementos, but that doesn't seem like a... Oh, there's one. Huh, what does that one say above Linda's head? Childhood Mementos, make some art. Trying to do it like frame by frame. Yeah, I don't think it's clear. They say, geez, what else do you like to do? Listen, Linda, listen to birds. So you don't look at them. You just listen. And then Eleanor goes, let's go listen to some birds. She kind of leans into Linda's personal area. And then Linda goes into like, she goes, come on, Linda. And Linda goes into action mode, like a superhero. And then it goes to commercial after that, like some kind of a Marvel movie. I just saw another sign, everything is Vine. Then we go to a conference, like a FaceTime conference or whatever, with the Sean and the judge and everybody. And the judge isn't happy. Ends up that Linda was really the shirtless mailman. He kind of looks like that Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, that's who it is. They put the Green Bay guy. He goes, maybe I should put my shirt back on. Eleanor goes, nah, it's fine. And then Sean's like, Chris was his real name. And they go, why'd you go ham on day two? And Sean goes, well, I'm a rascal. Sorry, Judge. Just trying to. So the judge makes a ruling. She says, cheating's a forced subject. And Sean says, that's not fair. It's like cheating. It's like studying for a test and doing well. And then the judge says, they say, well, his memory's erased, but you can't erase that Bodie. Know what I'm saying, Blondie? Oh, God, that was funny. I mean, in my Rudolph's mouth, it's funny. In my mouth, it's just, you know, bedtime stuff. Am I right? You know what I'm saying, Blondie? Studying for a test. Then the judge says, you know, we got to polish this up. I've been watching that TV show with Timothy Oliphant. And I need my daily dose. So she says, we got to finish up here. Then what else do we have? So they say, okay, well, so then we go back to the judge tells Sean she might even watch homecoming videos of dogs if they don't, if he doesn't polish up. Then the Bad Place train comes. It's got purple smoke. It crashes into trash cans. So they say, would you put those trash cans there just to crash into them? It's bad Janet. She's texting and chewing gum. She's there to pick up the shirtless mailman. Michael's in a new suit, more conservative, but like a flashier pocket square. His suit is gray with... pocket square, let me see, I don't have a close-up on it yet. But yeah, Jan's texting, she got spandex pants on. Pocket square is kind of, not sure where the style of print came from, but really a really flashy print in a good way, or vibrant, yeah, that's the right word. Plain gray suit, a striped dress shirt, blue and white striped, and then a navy kind of embossed bow tie. Yeah, but what Bad Janet really is there to do is put some doubt in Eleanor's mind. So she definitely does that. And then Michael says, tell Sean booyah, and he points, and make sure to do it that way. I don't know, but really she's just kind of planning, yeah, the doubt in Eleanor, who has her arms crossed, and she's, you know, it's not easy being Eleanor in these first ones. That's fine. Then we see the caboose of the Bad Place Express, and the episode comes to an end. So I guess what I'll do is save all the research for the next episode. I'll run through these, because I didn't have a ton of research anyway, but that way, like with episode two, let's see. So these were all like, this was called The Good Place Presents a Selection. It was a series of shorts, and they're fast. I think they're all like, first one is like 2.5 minutes, but it also includes like a recap of last season. It's definitely fun to watch. It's called The Mission, where they kind of go through the rules, Michael disagrees. A bad place gets to choose. People with the same level of badness. No reboots. Oh, some of this is on the board. Michael gets 5 minutes of prep time with each new subject. Neighborhood can be adjusted. I just saw cheese whip on the table, though, or whatever that stuff is called. No files in advance. Sean says they have a billion objections. They have to do it for a year. Judge will monitor. Says Good Place presents in the green. Then it goes to red, the selection. They're created by a bunch of ding-dongs. They're in conference room C. It's 11 a.m. The EVIL planning meeting's at 11 a.m. At 6 p.m. is the EVIL Zumba class. The conference room is similar but different than the one that'll be featured in episode episode one of season four. A lot of characters have these pins on, which I couldn't quite figure out, but not all of them do all the time. So I don't know if that symbolizes a certain role in the bad place. Let's see, there's four people there. Bomba John, Glenn, Gail, and Val. There's also coffee and coffee or water carafe there. First, I thought they all had pins on their left, but then I realized that not all of them do. There's a blinking something. There's a lot of good jokes. Oh yeah, inactive supercomputer with the lights in the back and tape reels. There's a phone on the table. They say name some. Forgot. Oh, my, the, like so. There's this thing. And then Sean says, "Oh, I didn't tell you the rules." Semi-ironic cover rap song. Think outside the box. Who said that originally? Someone has to go play Joe Rogan's podcast for Emily Dickinson. Sean says, if you don't get this together, I'm going to show you videos of cute red pandas. Then we go to episode two, which is called The Contestants. There's a bunch of hot headshots of possible people. This time, Sean's not in the room to start. There's also dot matrix printouts with the kind of contrast stuff. They say, geez, we got some good options. Let's get ready for him. Val says, I got Mackenzie Truffet. She's a trust fund kid from Greenwich, Connecticut, who used to say, do you know who my father is? They say, maybe. Bomba John has Troy Hastings, a firefighter who does more on TikTok. Then Gail says she can't choose because all humans stink so bad. They say, well, geez, maybe we should order dinner and move the Zumba to a conference room D because we need the time. So then we go to part three, which is called the takeout order. I think Sean says that was made by a crew of idiots. Something? Is that idiots? Kids don't use words like that. They're looking through takeout menu. There's a lot of jokes about it. The takeout menu is written in bad place script with a rooster on it. They talk about what they want to dinner and nosh on. There's just a lot of stuff there. Then that other bad place dudes pops in. They said, geez, evil Zumba's down the hall in conference room D. Pass the fountain. Right past 11 more fountains by the broom closet. And then the other dude says, next to conference room E. And they goes, oh, go suck, bye. Glenn uses the term my tum-tum. There's also mixed teeth kiss now with cavities. Original flavor is a tooth with a Robin Hood hat on it. Sean says, I swear to Bieber. He also says, something about Julia Child and roast chicken. There's also a joke about seven-layer dip. Then there's episode four, The Storm Out. These are kind of Sean Bad Place-centric episodes created by your mom, it says. It's post-dinner. Everyone's kind of chilling. They say, just leave your plates.
They say, don't you have any new ideas? So let's say we'll generate our 840,000 ideas. There's like a bunch of other insults. Michael says, I'm going to cocoon your rears and the rest of you. They say, is that worse? And he goes, I don't know, Michael, I mean, it's, or Sean says that. And he goes, I don't know, but it took longer to say. And he just jokes about flies, honey, and vinegar. And then Sean storms out, and they say, go on, you got to go talk to Sean. Do it. Then they have a talk with, so this takes place actually before the end of season three, I think, some of it. So then Sean goes and has a talk, or Glenn goes to talk to Sean, and this one was created by one dingus, another dingus, and an even bigger dingus. Looks like Sean's smoking cigars, but ends up there from the Canada geese. Glenn's on the patch. He goes, I'm all fine with like, so fine terrible. We need great terrible. And they say, geez, we're creative thinking. But Glenn says, you have to be nicer, man. Our entire way of life is at stake. So you get the stakes for the bad place, which is nice. There's something at 5 minutes that you go, what? Say that again. Which is good because he mentions this is where the introduction of Simone and them, like people that have actual relationships with them. Sean says, geez, we got a lot of work to do. Let's go do it. And so then they set forth. Then part six is created by your mom. She came back to do another one. It's called The Solution. Sean walks in with a file folder and basically says, geez, we got to deal with these at the weakest point themselves. Four new people to specifically make them miserable. And they go, who's that? Someone asks, who's that? They see Simone, Chidi's ex-girlfriend. And then they talk about John, who's the gossip columnist. Blogger. They see, geez, we got this Michael suit. They say, geez, this is, now this is cheating. And then they say, oh, haha, of course. And then at the end, there's this like long back and staring back and forth with Sean and Gail. And that's the end of the selection, the six short episodes of the selection. And that's the end of some thank yous and stuff. But thanks for listening. Welcome back, good place, and good night. All right, I want to say thanks to everybody that reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. Thanks, and good night to Love and Lucy, who fell asleep writing the review. Love to review this weekend. I'm 3 weeks in, and I haven't made it past the rambling, tedious intro. I love it. Kyle B., best sleeping podcast. I come across calming, creaky dulcet tone, puts me to sleep. I wait the day where I'll be able to support sleep with me financially, but until then, I'll sleep soundly. Wholesome podcast. It gives me more than I realize to this day. Thanks, Kyle. Shenanigans, 5526. Wouldn't believe how good. Amazing. You normally can't fall asleep if there's anything going on, TV, other people. So I didn't think a podcast would help, but it does. Something about the voice. I feel bad for his friends and family. I remember this review. Thank you, Shenanigans. Parker Driveway 3220 from Australia. That's kind of a pun, Parker Driveway. Oh, Parker, anyway, I mixed it up, Parker Way. Yeah, it's my own confusion, the best. I am to stumble across this podcast by chance, thought it would give a see how it goes. Problems falling asleep at work the first night, couldn't be happier. Use it on a regular basis, thanks. Sugi 4. Says they're from Canada. They say, why this is a 5-star podcast? Because I can't make it past the introduction. So boring, it'll make you fall asleep. Then from the UK, Twig the Wonder Kid 14. Twig the Wonder Kid. Twig, you're a wonderful kid. Scoots is my favorite thing about bedtime. Phenomenal. Makes you feel comfortable, cozy. Took a few episodes to get used to. Now it's my go-to. I value it so much. I support the podcast on Patreon. It's the only thing I support, but really, it's that good.
Not all episodes work as well for me as others, but that's the beauty of it. I can't articulate just how much this podcast helps. Heatlam89, yawn, listened to about 10 episodes so far, don't remember a single thing. 11 out of 10, we'll keep listening. Heather L. Says, right to bed. I've listened to so many of these, and I have no idea what's been said in any of them. I fall asleep so quickly, necessary each night. Then this person's name is clap, thumbs up, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cat emoji, cat with hearts in its eyes emojis. More Snort Trek, please. I love this podcast. More Snort Trek. And the last one's from Yo Shannon. Shannon really works. Always need to talk to get to sleep. This is the best because it is a complete opposite of what can engages my brain. That's why Sleep With Me works extremely well, especially when I have racing thoughts, which is more often than not. So thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show over on Apple Podcasts. If you use Apple Podcasts, you could review the show as well. I really appreciate it. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast. Could be able to support the show directly and on Patreon. Support the sponsors and support the show on Patreon and other, you know, smirch, all that stuff. That's merch, not smirch. My smirch store. And then we grow as a podcast from people naturally sharing the podcast in their real life and online community. So I appreciate everybody that does that. Really, truly, I really, really appreciate it. Here's a couple of messages about some other podcasts and a couple of our partners here. Thanks and good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.